Welcome to Sellersburg United Methodist Church Podcast, where we bring our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world to you, wherever you are.
We love to hear the stories of Jesus, and today is no exception. We know this story. This is the day. Amen? Palm Sunday. I can't believe it's here. We've been journeying through Lent. Those of you who are still hanging on to your fast are really excited because you're in the home stretch, right? Can I get an amen? Maybe even a hosanna. We have begun Holy Week. We haven't ended Lent. We have begun Holy Week. We've been traveling through the wilderness to this place, this week, and all that it means. And here we are. It's good to see you all. We've traversed together, and it's been a hard road at times, and it's been a wonderful road at times. Jesus rides in on two donkeys. Did you catch that? You can see it depicted here. If you can imagine how hard that would be to ride in on two donkeys. Our gospel writer has inserted the word "and" to the Zechariah prophecy. Zechariah said, "We'll ride in on a donkey, on a foal, the colt of a donkey," and Matthew has turned it into "on a donkey and on a colt and a foal." You should see some of the ways people depict this, and it's funny. Holy Week in the clergy circles, we are big nerds, but sometimes you'll see a donkey and a donkey on top and Jesus on top, and that goes around. We just kind of have fun with this passage. That isn't the only bizarre thing about this passage, though. We can laugh. We know that the people shout, "Hosanna," as we have. But in a few days, they'll be shouting something else, won't they? "Crucify him." It's weird to imagine a crowd of people so fickle, isn't it? Thank you for laughing. You picked up on that we do that. We know that Jesus came to be the Messiah, to cleanse the earth of evil. But then he goes to the temple, the holiest place, and he cleanses it. Bizarre. What do we make of this story as we tell it again? We must remember that this story is a part of our Lenten journey, too. We must not simply tell it and forget to consider what it means for us today, here. We must not assume that we haven't gone from Hosanna to crucify him many times, and that we won't yet still. We're human, aren't we? There's an understanding in clergy that the first few years at a new church, everyone's excited, right? Everyone's happy. Maybe this pastor's going to bring all the stuff in I've always wanted to see, or maybe this pastor has an energy, or it's just new, and there's a bell curve. About 2 or 3 years, it starts to maybe dip. They kind of decide, are they... We've been around me now. You kind of know me. Are you still happy? And it can go up or it can go down. And it happens. It happens. I'm not comparing myself to Jesus. Please don't think that. I am placing me alongside of the people on the street that day. Jesus, who's been around them for a few years, and they have expectations. But are they open to what he is versus their expectation? They are human. We are human. Amen? We're always going to fall short. We're going to struggle to understand. The more we think we understand, the more we probably do not. The less we think we know, the wiser we are said to be. Those who should have understood and celebrated that day, they instead criticized him. And those who everyone would assume knew little, they were the ones receiving it, healing the truth. Those who should have been displaying hospitality for the world and God's temple for all that it means had set up a shop in the court of the Gentiles, and they were selling to the poorest of the poor, making them change money and charging them extra things every time, and then selling them the doves, which is the sacrifice of the poor, at their prices. They were exploiting them. After traveling all that way and coming to be in Jerusalem to be exploited in the temple by the bustle of a marketplace, they were being ripped off, and it was the priests that were doing it in the temple. The house of prayer had become a den of thieves. We must not assume that we are incapable of losing our way too. Amen? with all the best intentions. It happens. It's so tempting to get distracted on what you're focused on and kind of forget how it affects people. It's so tempting to exploit the poor and receive the benefits of it. If your clothing was made in Asia, if your coffee was less than $12 a pound, if you pay less than $5 a pound for bananas, we are reaping the benefits off of someone else's back. That's truth. We don't like to hear it. And this is not a guilt trip. This is a reality check. For me too, I participate as much as anyone else. It's so hard to do things right in an entire system that is broken. Amen? We're literally tearing our world apart and can step back and convince ourselves that it's not happening. We need cleansed. We need healed. We need to be put in our place. Amen? And we should long for it. Why wouldn't we want to be put in our place by Jesus Christ? That's what we want. But sometimes we're like, that's not what I expected. We can understand. We need judgment. Not to each other. And sometimes, most of the time, all the time, not so much for ourselves. We need God's judgment in our lives. We want to be put right. We want to do this without the feeling of fear and dread and doubt. But that's hard. That's not often how we talk about it. So imagine Jesus, the great judge, the great king, riding into town, not on a war horse with the sword ready to put people in their place, but on the foal of a donkey. Realize that to sit on the foal of a donkey, you're probably sitting down a bit. You're not being lifted up. You're probably lowering yourself down to where people are towering over you. That's how our judge comes. That's how the deliverer arrives on the scene. The Son of David, they call him. What does that mean? We say it. What does it mean? David had made Jerusalem the city of God, this great city, long ago, had kicked all the foreign oppressors out, had driven them out, and it was good. And then David was gone, and then they were oppressed again, and they were longing for the Son of David to come and do what David had done. So there's this element of a hope for the prototype king that they had in David when they are worshiping Jesus that day. The waving of palms, the laying down of cloaks that were echoed in Scripture again and again. Israel had welcomed kings in that way, and not in our Bibles. It's the story of the Maccabean revolt that's in the Bibles of our friends down the street at the Catholic Church. Judas Maccabeus led a revolt about 160 years before Jesus, because the Greeks had oppressed them and put up idols in that temple. And then there was a revolt, and they fought them back. And then Judas Maccabeus rode in to Jerusalem with a waving of palms, walked into the temple and cleansed it of the idols. And they reclaimed it. We can hear that echo in our story, can't we? Zechariah's prophecy told of God's king coming, but to establish the people as a people, no longer being oppressed or threatened by any weapon of war. Said he's going to break the chariots. He's going to smash the bow. So Jesus doesn't come in on a war horse, but that foal. That's not the picture of power we might be expecting. So are we okay or are we not okay? Are we ready or are we want to hear more? The Son of David, the king, the rescuer had come. But not to make Israel the superpower they hoped to be. Not the kind of nation that had a stronghold on other nations. God's king had come, but to save them from something entirely more important and entirely different. Different kind of oppression. He'd come to call them to life by the will of God, not by the will of kings. To accept God's rule. So Jesus comes from the Mount of Olives, like Zechariah's prophecy. Rides on the foal of a donkey, like Zechariah's prophecy. Comes into Jerusalem and they respond, Hosanna, it's a good day. This is the day. The king has arrived. And maybe they knew they needed rescuing in one way and not the other. Or maybe they kind of had a glimpse. I don't know. We don't know exactly what they were shouting Hosanna for, do we? We don't know exactly why we sometimes call out, rescue us, O God. We may think we know what we need rescued from. But it's really hard to tell. It's really hard for us to tell about ourselves even what we need, isn't it? We've had a hard time knowing that we still need God's rescue today. We still do. We're struggling with it right now, aren't we? I don't know about this, Pastor. I don't think I need God's rescue. I think I've already got it, right? You might be thinking that. We want to make excuses, maybe, or we want to point backwards to something we've done, or we want to provide evidence that what we're doing is okay. We want to point the finger of accusation at other people, right? Because in comparison, we're actually doing pretty good. Or at the very least, we want to point out the audacity of those who accuse us. How dare they? We also want Jesus to come as the king that we expect. We want to be exalted as right, don't we? We love it. We love being right. Is it just me? See, I'm right. I knew it. We want to be the people at the top of the pile because we're human. We're as human as anyone there that day. We're as human as those whose cries turned from hosannas and adoration to hatred and crucify him. We're as human as those who don't understand what the real rescue is all about. We're as human as those who should know better, but we criticize. And we see the world that we live among and our neighbors, and we distort it to tell our story instead of God's. Jesus, in all of his grace, rode into that town, rode into those cries, and to those people that are just like us. He received their praise for what it was. He knew what they knew or didn't do, didn't he? And he didn't check to make sure they were following the right thing or they understood. No, he just received it, didn't he? He received it in the moment for what it was, truth. Maybe they didn't know the truth, but he did. He received the praise and grace. And even if the people were going to forget and get so caught up in their expectation that they would reject God at work in him in just a few days, he knew that what they were doing that day was right. Even if they had no idea how far off they were, the grace of God was present as Jesus accepted the praise, the cries of the people. Jesus did mount that donkey. Jesus did ride down that hill, received that praise, entered that temple, and accepted the acclamation of a king, even if they were expecting a different type. And he began the cleansing that would start the chain of events leading to his death. He knew exactly what he was doing. Even if the people didn't then, and even if we struggle to know now, we only need to look to our rescuer, our savior, our king, our Jesus. And no matter how much we think we have it figured out, and no matter how wrong we probably are in many ways, we can stand in awe of grace, can't we? It's on full display in Jesus. That's what this day is all about. This isn't the end of Holy Week. This isn't the end of the story. We will accept and give the praise for what it is, but let us continue our journey of Lent to the cross. Where might you need cleansed? Where might we need cleansed? Are you ready for the death of sin and self? Because this is the day it can begin for all of us, because we all stand in need of grace. So let us stand in our need and in awe of grace as we continue our journey. Amen. Amen. We thank you for worshiping with us, and it is our hope that through the Holy Spirit you have felt the touch of God upon your life. If you would like to know more about our church and its ministries, please visit our website at sellersburgumc.com.